Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. Greatness. All of us are interested in greatness. We are captivated by people who are truly great at what they do, whether it's music, dance, sports, business, any sort of a skill. To be great is extremely difficult. Perhaps it seems impossible for us to become great in any way. Maybe we feel like we are inferior and we have a low opinion of ourselves sometimes. And yet God tells us how to be great. In fact, there is a way to be great that isn't as hard as we might think. In 2 Kings 4, a certain woman is called great for the way that she lived. And we certainly can follow her example. Notice here, 2 Kings 4. Starting in verse 8, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. Constrained there means she laid hold on him. She would grasp Elisha as he walked past. And make sure, and she would make sure that Elisha came into her house to eat. She and her husband always hosted Elisha and took care of him. Continuing here, and so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in there to eat bread. It's almost like the prophet Elisha didn't have a choice. He was going to be grabbed and redirected into the home anyway. He might as well choose to accept that hospitality. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God who passes by us continually. You see, this Shunammite woman knew the identity of God's prophet. She located and focused on God's man. And she was deeply honored by the fact that Elisha regularly passed by their house. Elisha's travels regularly took him right past their home, giving them many opportunities to serve him. Continuing here in 2 Kings 4, verse 10. This woman speaking to her husband, let us make a little chamber, I pray you, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he comes to us that he shall turn in there. And it fell on a day that he came there, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for you? Would you be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. This Shunammite woman had such an inspiring, humble attitude. Elisha basically, through his servant Gehazi, asked this woman, how can we repay you for all this hospitality, this boundless love that you have shown to us? Do you want to be presented before the king or to his captain? Do you want acclaim? Do you want fame? Do you want special favors from the government of the land? And she said, you know what? I like it just where I am, with my husband, serving God's prophet. I don't want anything in return for all this service. Verse 14, and he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she has no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, you shall embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, you man of God, do not lie unto your handmaid. So this Shunammite woman clearly had a hard time believing that she could have a child after a lifetime of being childless and her husband being very old. Similar to the way Sarah felt about her and Abraham having a son in their old age. This Shunammite woman felt the same way. She looked at the physical evidence and didn't see really any way that she could have her own child. But as it says there in 2 Kings 4, verse 16, this Shunammite woman basically said to Elisha, don't get my hopes up here. Don't say something you don't mean. I would love to have a son. I just don't think it's possible. And then the very next verse, notice in verse 17, and the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. So basically, it was around a year later. It wasn't long afterward that they were able to conceive. And then, of course, the 9-month process of birth, of gestation and then birth. And then a year later, she had a child. Exactly as Elisha had promised. A miracle from God, proof of God's apostle or God's prophet in this case. Elisha was God's man, and the miracle backed that up. But that's not the end of the story. There is so much more to it. Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Fleury writes in his free book, The Former Prophets, about the Shunammite woman on pages 258 and 259. And you can receive a free copy of The Former Prophets at thetrumpet.com. But here on pages 258 and 259, there's a section called The Shunammite, How to Be Great. Notice what Mr. Fleury writes here. This woman wasn't heading a corporation or joining the army. The Bible doesn't talk about her doing anything except that she discerned by the fruits and by the Holy Spirit that Elisha was God's representative. She was great because she perceived that Elisha was a man of God. Just like I said, being great perhaps isn't as hard as we thought. If you are following God's work today, if you are familiar with the Philadelphia Church of God and all that this work is doing today through the Key of David, the Philadelphia Trumpet, personal appearance campaigns, Herbert W. Armstrong College, Imperial Academy, Royal Vision, True Education, the Armstrong Institute of Biblical Archaeology, Let the Stone Speak, Kingdom of David and Solomon Discovered, The Exhibit, the Armstrong International Cultural Foundation Concert Series, all of the books and booklets available to you for free at thetrumpet.com. If you know about all of these different aspects of God's work today through the Philadelphia Church of God, you're already on track to being great. Have you taken the time to prove that God really is working through this church and this church alone? And that God is using only one man today, just as he has always done throughout history? Back in ancient Israel, during the time of the Shunammite woman, God was using Elisha. Before Elisha was Elijah. At different times, God also used Samuel, King David, King Solomon, other righteous kings of Judah, other prophets sent by God to warn the kings of Israel and Judah, such as Jeremiah or Isaiah. Going into the New Testament, we see Christ calling disciples. And even when there were multiple apostles, there was one chief apostle, Peter. And when Peter wasn't around, then it was John. And on and on and on it goes through all seven church eras as outlined in Revelation 2 and 3. The sixth church era under Herbert W. Armstrong. The seventh era under Mr. Flurry today. God always uses one man at a time. And then the entire work rallies around that man. So a major part of each one of us being great is identifying which man God is using. Just like this Shunammite woman perceived that Elisha was a man of God. Mr. Flurry continues here on page 258 of the Former Prophets. Do you perceive a man of God when you see one? Do you recognize God's ministers? Do you know there is a man of God who has the mantle of Elijah? For those who don't know that, extreme suffering will be the result. We must know. And God says, if you perceive that, you are great. That should be encouraging to every single person in God's church. If you want to be great, just prove where God is working today. And then live your life accordingly. This Shunammite woman didn't just possess intellectual knowledge. She didn't just know who Elisha was. She wholeheartedly supported Elisha. She fed him. She made a place in her home for him to stay. She supported him unwaveringly as he did God's work. And she expected nothing in return. But the fact is, God always blesses us for doing those things. So the Shunammite woman still received a lot in return for her loyalty. She received a son. When it seemed impossible, God gave her a son. Mr. Flurry writes on page 259, this woman wanted to do all she could to help God's man. She prayed for Elisha, probably every day. There is no telling how many of those prayers God answered for her. That is such a huge part of our responsibility in God's work. Praying for God's man. We offer a free book at thetrumpet.com titled How to Pray. And there is a prayer outline, an ideal prayer structure that we can follow, as shown to us by Jesus Christ himself in Matthew 6. And notice in Matthew 6, verse 10, one section of our prayer is, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? Well, this is talking about God's work today. Who is really doing God's will on earth? We don't see a lot of that happening in society around us. There's only one place where God's will is being done. It says here on page 75 of How to Pray, God's will in heaven is expressed through his government. The Father reigns supreme, and Christ under him is head of the church. Only God's one true church, the body of Christ, is attached to the head. The head does not have more than one body. Thus, God's true church is ruled by his government. So, God's will on earth is expressed through his church, which today is led by Gerald Fleury under Christ. Just as God's will is done in heaven through God's government, it is done on earth through God's government, which is one man rule under Mr. Fleury. As Mr. Fleury follows Christ, we follow his example. Continuing here in How to Pray, the church is God's instrument for fulfilling his will on earth. As it is the kingdom of God in embryo, it is a means by which God is preparing for the return of Christ and the kingdom of God. Thus, our fervent prayers for the church and Mr. Fleury help to ensure that God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Just as the Shunammite woman prayed regularly for Elisha, God holds supporters of his work responsible for praying regularly for Mr. Fleury, God's man today. And again, this is how to be great. Back on page 259 of The Former Prophets, Mr. Fleury writes, this Shunammite woman wanted a child, and God gave her one because she was great. Back here in 2 Kings 4, starting in verse 18 now, and when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray you, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. This woman's immediate reaction was to go to God's government for help. In this horrible trial of her own son dying, she knew she needed to reach out to God's man and see what to do next. Verse 23, and he said, wherefore will you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. So this woman's husband said, well, it's not really a special occasion where normally we'd be able to see Elisha. And she said, don't worry about that. I'm going to find him. I'm going to go pursue him and make sure I get through. Verse 24, then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not your riding for me, except I bid you. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray you, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Well, interesting. The Shunammite woman said everything's okay. Even though her son had just died, she said, it's okay. All is well. Now, Elisha perceived that something was wrong, even though the Shunammite woman was trying to be strong in this situation. And then the Shunammite woman did come forward and she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Elisha at that point knew that something had happened. Remember, Elisha had promised her a son. She had received a son despite her disbelief. And now she's reminding him, this blessing came to me because of your promise. And the implication was, why has my blessing disappeared? The blessing that you promised me. I've been supporting you for years, and then my son just dies in his late teens. What's going on here? I need to understand. So Elisha sent Gehazi to examine the body of the son and to put Elisha's staff down upon the boy's head. But the boy was still dead, so Elisha went there and a miracle occurred, a staggering miracle. It's a pretty strange description here, to be totally honest, in Second Kings 4, just of the way that Elisha had to put mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, and hands to hands. He laid on top of the boy, or the dead boy, and then the body became warm again. And then Elisha paced back and forth in the house. He laid down on the boy again, and then the child sneezed 7 times and woke up. So God raised this boy back to life because she went straight to Elisha and asked for help. She was persistent. She stayed with Elisha until Elisha helped her, as you can see there in 2 Kings 4, verse 30. Mr. Fleury writes, because of her faithful attitude, God raised her child from the dead, all because this great woman perceived Elisha was a man of God. Mr. Fleury asks us, do you know deeply where the Elijah work is today? Those who perceive that and support it will be rewarded with a headquarters job with God for eternity. If we support God and his work, we cannot lose. What a glorious opportunity God has given us. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 12 p.m. Central Time.